everyone. Happy Friday. Welcome into a new episode of the Bengals Beat podcast. I'm your host, Kelsey Conway, here at the Enquirer studio with podcast producer Phil Didion. And there is a lot to talk about with these Cincinnati Bengals. And I tweeted yesterday that besides the two teams that are playing in the game on Sunday, the Philadelphia Eagles and the Kansas City Chiefs, it doesn't seem like there is a team that's generating more headlines out of this week than the Cincinnati Bengals. And a lot has to do with the star power behind the Bengals that are seeking new contract extensions, but a lot also has to do with Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow did several interviews on Radio Row on Thursday from New Orleans before the NFL Honors Show. And the most popular question he was asked was, of course, about those contract extensions. And until they are done and there's some sort of resolution, whether it be that those three players, and we'll get to exactly who I'm talking about here shortly, get new extensions with the Bengals, or if they end up with other teams, that is going to be the central talking point around this team because everything kind of goes from there. So before you can even talk about a wish list for potential players that the Bengals should target in the free agency when it opens in the middle of March, you have to know what you're doing with Trey Hendrickson, Ja'Marr Chase, and T. Higgins. Ja'Marr Chase is, of course, under contract, as is Trey Hendrickson, but there are some asterisks there in terms of what could potentially happen next season if, in fact, deals are not done when they need to be done. I had a chance to talk to Bengals Director of Personnel Duke Tobin at the Senior Bowl a couple weeks back, and he was fantastic. He provided a lot of insight on where things went wrong last season, what to expect with some of these contract extensions, and what gives him optimism that the Bengals can turn things around next season. So I encourage everyone that's interested in hearing from Duke Tobin to check that out. The full Q&A is up on Cincinnati.com. So thanks again to Duke Tobin for doing that interview with me. But so let's get back to what was said this week, and I'll try and recap it as quickly as I can. So I want to start with Joe Burrow because, of course, what QB1 for the Bengals says is always making the most news. He hasn't stopped since that Monday night game in Dallas, which was in early December, making his case for why the Bengals need to re-sign T. Higgins. Well, in the last couple of weeks, he's amped it up even more so to including Trey Hendrickson in that piece. And altogether, just that all three players, Ja'Marr Chase, Trey Hendrickson, and T. Higgins, all need new deals and should be paid what they deserve. And that's the key term here. The players have all gotten together and they were all at the Pro Bowl, everyone except for T. Higgins. But now that T. Higgins has signed with Ja'Marr Chase's agent, and we obviously know how close Joe, Ja'Marr, and T are, it has seemed like the players have gotten together and had discussions with one another on how to keep that core intact in Cincinnati. Based off of what Joe Burrow said yesterday, they have a plan and everybody's on board. Whether that means certain players may take less, we don't know exactly what their plan is. But it sounds like all four of those players want to continue to keep playing together in Cincinnati, which is a huge positive for the Bengals. And that's something that I don't think is being talked about enough. There isn't a player right now that is saying, I don't want to play my next season in Cincinnati. I think that's great for the Bengals in terms of a foundational core that this team can build on. And for years, the Bengals never really had a core of that magnitude of star power. They had great receivers. They had a good quarterback. They had some good defensive linemen. But when you're talking about three of the best players in the NFL and the fourth one you could put in the bucket of potentially top 50 player, I mean, he'd be a number one wide receiver for several teams right now. But when you have that many good players that want to stay in Cincinnati, that is a good problem for the Bengals to have. That's not saying it's going to be easy to figure it out, but it's a good problem for the Bengals front office. It means that they have acquired good players to come to Cincinnati. And now the next step for this team to take is keeping those players in Cincinnati for the foreseeable future. And that's where I want to spend some time talking about today. The Bengals have struggled in years past to keep very important players happy as the end of their contracts come up. And we're talking about the Andrew Whitworths of the world. And he's been very vocal in saying that he hopes some things change in Cincinnati in that aspect. This leads me to Trey Hendrickson's comments at Radio Row. He went on the Pat McAfee show and he was asked about my article and the quote that Duke Tobin gave me. And that is, the Bengals can't have too many players at the top of the payroll at every position, because how else do you field a team and fill holes of need if you have so many players making the premium amount at their position? He didn't like that Duke said that to me in an article before he had heard it from him. My question about that is, I don't necessarily have a problem with what Duke said at all if I'm Trey Hendrickson, because he said earlier in the quote, we want to keep Trey Hendrickson. We know we need to give him a raise. So my question comes is, where is the lack of communication that Trey is referring to? Because if it's he wanted to hear from Duke Tobin in the front office after the season about where things stand, that's a different conversation. But what Duke said was ultimately, we'd like to keep him, but we have to be able to agree on an extension. And if that's the first time Trey is hearing that, that's interesting to me, because those are easy fixes on both sides. And communication could be improved across the board. And these are tough conversations that you're having. It's emotional. And I think that this will all be ironed out in the next 8 weeks and probably a lot sooner. But communication could really be the key to making this whole thing work. And whether that falls on the Bengals more so, I would say it 100% falls on the Bengals more to communicate with the players. But the players also have to be able to work with the Bengals if there is, in fact, a plan to keep everyone in place. Everyone is saying the right things right now. But having covered the NFL for a long time now, things like this tend to get hairy at times. So we will see where things go with that. But Trey Hendrickson's main quote of the day was, I want to help Cincinnati win a Super Bowl, whether I'm there or not. And to me, that is him saying, I would like to stay in Cincinnati, which he did say, but if we can't agree on an extension that I feel like you are valuing me and what I have done for this franchise at a respectable number that is fair to Trey Hendrickson's perspective and the market, if you're not able to get there with me, please trade me, because I could get you picks, and what you do with those picks could potentially help you win a Super Bowl. And that was what Trey was saying. So we'll get to more of that here in a little bit. But I have, based off of how last season went, Trey Hendrickson requested a trade in the offseason due to wanting a pay increase, which the Bengals did not give him. So now all eyes turn to this season. In my opinion, the Bengals need to figure out what is going on with Trey Hendrickson very quickly before T. Higgins, because if you feel like you can get there with Trey, it might take some time, but if you're encouraged enough in these next couple of weeks, you can move forward in free agency, filling other holes and operating in a different lens. If you don't feel like you are going to be able to get to a place of both sides can agree on an extension, you need to trade Trey Hendrickson, because his value will never be higher than what it is right now. He is one of the top edge rushers in the NFL. And if we've learned anything about the way to win Super Bowls, you need a really good quarterback and you need some really good pass rush. And Trey Hendrickson has proven to be one of the very best at sacking quarterbacks. He led the NFL in sacks with 17 and a half last year. So for the Bengals, it might be a tough pill to swallow, but if you can't get there with him, that is what's in the best interest of the football team. With that being said, the Bengals are not a better football team without Trey Hendrickson on the roster next year, simply put. And that's where things get interesting, because had the Bengals had an up-and-coming star edge rusher, it could make moving on from Trey Hendrickson so much easier. But this is where the Bengals sit in a tough situation. With Joe Burrow on the roster, the Bengals feel like they should be competing for a Super Bowl every year. Everyone in the building has made it clear. 2 years of missing the playoffs with Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, and Trey Hendrickson on the roster isn't acceptable. So if you unload Trey Hendrickson and you get draft picks for him, what we've learned with edge rushers sometimes they take a little bit to develop. Miles Murphy, even Trey Hendrickson, you know, he didn't really get going until about his fourth year in the NFL. They take some time to develop. So because the Bengals don't have another edge rusher right now who is a 1A edge rusher, Sam Hubbard, we don't know what's going to happen with him, but he is not the player he used to be. Miles Murphy still hasn't proven what he is. Joseph Osai is going to be a free agent. You have no pass rush, and you aren't going to be able to look at that Bengals defense without Trey Hendrickson and say that is a playoff caliber defense. So that is leverage to Trey Hendrickson, because he knows that the Bengals have said, we need to win now. Joe Burrow isn't going to tolerate not having a plan to have a good pass rush next year. He showed all he can do this past year, and it still wasn't enough because the Bengals defense was so bad. Do you think that Joe Burrow is going to be okay with the Bengals giving up Trey Hendrickson without a plan on how they could make the defense better? And that's why there's so much to this decision with Trey Hendrickson. And so with so much news around this Bengals team, I wanted to bring on someone who is the king of NFL news, and that is ESPN's Adam Schefter is joining me right now to talk about what he's hearing about the Bengals and the futures of Trey Hendrickson, T. Higgins, and what to expect with that Ja'Marr Chase extension. So here's my conversation with Adam. So Adam, you are in New Orleans and you are hearing all of the chatter around the Bengals this week. And I said yesterday that, and I'm wondering if you agree with me, other than the two teams that are playing in the game on Sunday, is there a team that's generating more headlines from this week than the Bengals?
Well, the Cleveland Browns are doing okay for themselves this week with Myles Garrett. So I don't know that it's who's generating the most headlines. But what I would say, Kelsey, is that I do think that the Cincinnati Bengals have about as interesting a situation for the offseason as any team in the league. You look at the way they're set up, the way they're positioned, the things they have to get done. And I don't think that there's a team out there that has more intriguing storylines than the Bengals do for the upcoming season, between having to try to re-sign Ja'Marr Chase, which I would imagine they'll get done at some point in time, probably sooner rather than later. Having to figure out what to do with T. Higgins, which we'll see how they handle that situation, whether they try to tag him, sign him to a long-term extension. I thought, could they tag him and try to trade him, tag him with the idea that they would trade him? That has not been a Bengals tactic in the past, I don't believe. You've got Trey Hendrickson, who led the NFL in sacks last year, who asked for a trade last year, who still hasn't been satisfied and still wants a new deal. And he spoke on Media Row this week at the Super Bowl, and you can see that his stance has not changed any. And the Bengals have an awful lot of cap space, but you have Chase, you got Higgins, you got Hendrickson. You have all the other improvements that they would want to make. You've got a new defensive coordinator. You got a new do they have a new offensive coordinator? No, they don't.
They have a new offensive line coach.
Yeah, yeah, right. Exactly. And so there's any number of issues that they're sifting through. And to me, they become as interesting a team, considering all their talent and potential, as any team in the league.
Right. And that's what I feel like is kind of not being said. It's almost a good problem to have, even though it's challenging. But there's never been more eyes and attention on the Bengals, which I think is good because it shows people are interested in learning what they're going to do. So when we're talking about those three players, who do you think needs to go first in terms of they either need to figure out an extension and pay him or figure out if he's going to still be in Cincinnati of those three?
Well, I would guess just logically, you know you're going to re-sign Jamar. That doesn't seem to be in question, correct? And you could re-sign him in March or April or May, and I guess you'd want the relief that comes with it. Oh, he's still on his rookie deal, so it's not like his salary cap numbers are burdened right now. To me, the most time-pressing, sensitive one is T. Higgins. You got to start making decisions there about how you're going to handle that and what's the best route for the franchise to follow here. Again, could you tag him with the idea to trade him? Is there any hope? I know everybody's saying the right things. Is there any hope of getting him signed to a long-term deal? It's hard to imagine that they could pay Jamar close to $40 million a year, could make Trey Hendrickson happy, could make T. Higgins happy, because his salary on the open market, I believe, will be north of $30 million a year. Wow. So if you have Jamar at 40 and T at 30 and Trey Hendrickson at, I don't know, what's that number? 20 plus easy. There's a lot of money involved there. I don't know whether they can handle all that, how they're going to approach that. But again, that gets us back to the spot of why they become so intriguing, because they're good enough from a talent standpoint to compete for the Super Bowl, yet have all these looming financial issues that they have to wade through this offseason.
I got a couple of quick ones for you because I know you have to run. What are you hearing? You just brought up that T. Higgins could be north of 30. Do you believe that his injury issues are going to factor into what teams will pay for him? Or do you think because of the production he's had on the field, people will almost not really care so much about his soft tissue injuries over the last couple of years?
Well, I would say this, that you have a guy who may be arguably the top free agent out there, and he's played his way to that spot. Right. He played franchise tag last year. This is the reward that you get for playing at your contract. There's some guys that want to get paid early and they do a deal before they become a free agent when you can hit the open market and people bid on your services. You know, this is why T. Higgins, there's no way in the world he's going to want to be tagged. No way in the world, because the tag number absolutely will be lower than what he would command on the open market. I'm not telling you that T. Higgins is a top five wide receiver in the game. I'm telling you that in the position that he would be in my mind, he would be paid like a top five wide receiver in the game.
Well, the last question I want to ask you goes back to what you heard during the Justin Jefferson negotiations. What I heard was that the year before the Vikings and Jefferson agreed on an extension, they were at the number 30. For average Correct. Per year. Then
that's accurate.
That a year goes by and
that's true. Right?
That he ended up getting $5 million more to get to 35. That's why what I think is so interesting to me about Jamar, because when I spoke to Duke Tobin at the Senior Bowl, he gave me a quote that said, "We believe we know the framework to work with Jamar Chase." And it almost made it seem like they felt like that one was the easier one because they know the framework. But the framework, are they referring to the framework that is present that would have been what the framework was last summer when they didn't get it done? Or are they expecting the $5 million leap because they waited a year? Everyone said the Bengals are going to pay a price in not getting that done. Do you think they understand that, or do you think that they might be referring to the framework of what's already set for CD and Justin.
Or they could be referring to all those things. And after Justin did his deal, CD did his deal, I forget where that number came in, but he could make the argument. I mean, the structure might not be the same. I think he can make the argument that he topped Jefferson, if I'm not mistaken. My memory's not failing me from last summer on wide receiver numbers that are similar. Doesn't really matter. Both guys are really highly compensated, as they should be. And I would think that Jamar already wanted to be the highest paid wide receiver in football. So those deals, when they were done, what is the CD Lamb average? I think it's like 35 plus, might be 36. Yeah,
he's less than Justin.
Okay, and Justin came in at 35. So I could tell you that Jamar Chase's deal would make him the highest paid wide receiver in the game. I think it would make him the highest paid non-quarterback in the game. And my guess is it's north of 35. It might be 40. But I think we can safely say it's between 35 and 40.
Yeah.
Okay.
For sure.
Whatever that, however you want to define that, when he means the parameters, we're on this podcast. We don't have to ask anybody. We can figure that out. Okay. It's not hard. So there's your parameters for you. And now it's up to them to go execute it.
Yeah. Well, we will see. Thanks so much, Adam, for joining us. Really appreciate your time.
Thank you, Kelsey. Have a great day.
Thanks so much to Adam for stopping by. Really good stuff. Looking forward to talking more about all of that as this episode continues. And then the other domino to fall in this equation is about T. Higgins, because the franchise tag window will open here in a couple of weeks. And that is essentially crunch time for the Bengals and T. Higgins, because if they're not able to get a deal done, what would be in their best interest is to place the franchise tag on him and trade him to a team that is willing to give him an extension that he and his agent agree to and get something in return for T. Higgins, as opposed to letting him walk to free agency, in which all they would be able to get is hopefully a compensatory pick for him. Whereas if they tag and trade him, they'll know exactly what compensation they'd be getting for him. I do not see a scenario in which the Bengals tag T for a second year and he plays and everything is all sunshine and roses in that situation, because he accepted the tag. And typically when you accept the tag, it is in the spirit of the tag is in hopes to work out a long-term extension. The Bengals could say, we have you. The tag works to help the team. It doesn't help the player. They're still going to be compensated at a very high number. But what T. Higgins could get on the open market compared to what he'll get for a one-year tag is not going to be the same at all. And then you're also preventing him from locking up that long-term security for another year. And for a player who has done nothing but be a great locker room guy, do everything that he can on the field. He's played through injuries. It's time for the Bengals to either get it done with T or let him be free and go cash in with someone else, because you're risking locker room issues if this continues to be the Bengals won't give him what he deserves and you tag him, because then you're potentially setting off alarms to everyone in the locker room, including Jamar Chase, who's represented by the same player, the same agent, and Joe Burrow. And if you read Joe Burrow's comments from this week carefully, he said, either we're going to pay them or someone else will pay them what they deserve. T. Higgins doesn't deserve the franchise tag next year. He deserves a long-term deal. And I think the Bengals have an outside perception that is, you know, they're tough to work with at times when it comes to negotiations. And I've heard that, you know, from talking to a number of sources. And they have an opportunity to change the narrative around them if they handle this next 2 months the right way. And that is open communication with the players and the agents and just a basic level of appreciation. And they need to show those three players that they value their services and what they've done for them. And if you're not able to get it done and the Bengals really tried and the communication was great and they felt like they put their best offer out there and there's no nastiness, I really think if you do have to let someone go, it's a different way you look at it and the public narrative wouldn't have so much angst behind it. So that's why I think the way that these negotiations are handled on both sides is very important, and the time is ticking because, as I mentioned, the franchise tag window opens at the end of February, and then there's the combine, which typically in the NFL, sometimes a lot of meetings are had there between teams and agents and teams within teams. If you're talking about potentially a tag and trade, that could be an opportunity where the Bengals could meet with other teams that are interested in T's services. So that comes at the end of February, a couple of days after the franchise tag window opens. And then the franchise tag window closes 2 weeks later. And then you hit free agency. And free agency, the Bengals need to know either if they're going to have Trey Hendrickson and T. Higgins on their roster or not. Because if they don't, those are now holes that you would have to fill in free agency or in the draft. So that's why these next 6 weeks are so critical for the Bengals and those three players, because pretty much everything starts and ends with those three players and how those extensions get done if they are able to get done. But they're going to try. The Bengals, there's no reason to not believe what Joe Burrow said, and that is that they want to stay together and everyone is saying the right things. You can tell they all have like a close-knit bond. So we will see, because a lot of this is in the Bengals' court and there just has to be overall good communication for this to get done. So that's it on those three. Let's talk a little bit about the Bengals in terms of cap space, because that's the other part of what Joe Burrow said that to me was very interesting. He said, we have the cap space to get these deals done, because the Bengals are in very good cap space this offseason. Per overthecap.com, they enter the offseason with $46.5 million in cap space. Then you subtract about $10 to $15 million for the things that the team has to account for, whether it be draft picks, practice squad players, etc. So that brings them down to $30 million, roughly between $30 to $35 million. Then the Bengals are going to cut some people. And that goes back to another point in my interview with Duke Tobin, is I'd expect some of those veteran players to get cut. He said that his biggest regret from last season was maybe holding on to players on the defensive side of the ball a year too long. So if you read between the lines there, he's talking about players like Jermaine Pratt, Sam Hubbard, Von Bell, Mike Hilton, those guys, all what they're making, plus Sheldon Rankins, what they would make back in cutting him, they're going to have some cap space back. So that brings them back to a really healthy number. And depending on where they go, they could have almost $60 million in cap space. And that could be so helpful in getting these deals done. Then there's also the other point that Joe Burrow made, and that he said he is willing to restructure his contract if it helps them keep those players. And that was huge. Not that it's surprising, because everybody knows how competitive Joe is and how much he wants to win, but it was the first time he's ever publicly said that. So it feels like the Bengals have the money and they have a quarterback who's willing to help make it work. So that's an encouraging sign that if you're a Bengals fan wondering how this is all going to play out, I would look at that and say that's a big positive, in addition to how much people are talking about the Bengals being the other thing. So there's a lot of positives to this situation. And there's also just a lot of uncertainty. So we will see where all of that goes. But I felt like, you know, know, we'll get into a more in-depth interview as we get closer to free agency about this cap space, because depending on what happens with T and Trey, we'll know more about what cap space they could potentially have or not have with what happens with those two. All right, that is it for the latest on the Bengals this week. We will be back soon giving a preview of the combine, free agency, and after that, it's kind of crazy to believe that in April we'll start talking about the draft. All right, that is it for this episode of the Bengals Beat Podcast. Thanks for tuning in.